It's the Mornings with Ed show, top of the 8 o'clock hour, and welcome to the program on a Friday. As you know, the numbers continue to rise worldwide, 1.6 million infections with 97,000 dead. In the United States, 466,300 positive infections with 16,700 Americans dead here in the United States. Orange County's numbers are over 1,000 at 1,079. And starkly, Laguna Beach has 35 positive cases of coronavirus. We have on the line with us Dr. Greg DiNicola with Caduceus Medical Group. He is the chief medical officer, and we are glad to have him on board. Thank you, doctor, for being with us this morning.
Sure, Ed. Thanks for having me.
So first of all, I guess my very first question is, how are you? How are you and your staff doing? How are you guys feeling?
We're great. We haven't allowed an infection of any kind in our lobbies in over 2 weeks. We check temperatures every day of the staff. We've checked staff periodically. We check every patient who walks in the front door at the door for a temp. Any infection of any kind, we treat, but we escort them to the car and do a video visit, a telemedicine visit. So we're all great.
Thanks. Okay, good. And please stay that way. I had mentioned that we have 35 cases positive here in Laguna, and that's a high per capita. We have the highest per capita rate here in Orange County of any city. What do our numbers tell you?
Well, I've got a little bias on this one. I'm not sure that's really... it's accurate by the number, but back, I want to say it was March 9th or 10th, well before testing was even being offered anywhere in Orange County. I have friends in the Quest and WabCorp area, and I heard that they would have swabs available for the general community to use. So we asked for them and had to pull a few strings. So Caduceus in Laguna Beach got hundreds of swabs a week before anybody else did.
You were the first to be testing, yes.
Yeah, I think we were. So, and we insisted it be done curbside. We didn't want anybody in the office. Right. They had to have a telemedicine visit to make sure they needed it. So we started probably on the 10th or 11th of March in that ballpark, where most of the other facilities, even hospitals, didn't start for a week later. We've so far checked total, because we have offices in Orange County elsewhere, just a little under 1,000 cases, and a third of those, or more, actually more like 400 or so, have been in Laguna Beach. So I think Laguna Beach had a head start, if you want to call it that.
Okay.
That there was a lot. We were doing testing on Laguna Beach residents before Garden Grove and Anaheim and Diamond Bar were doing theirs. So we have about over half of those 35 in our practice. We probably have almost 20, I think it is 20, Laguna Beach residents under our treatment protocol. Over half of those 35 are our patients that we picked up weeks ago. So I think if you look at it that way, maybe it's just a little higher. And of course, the beachside community, the tourist trade, all those play a role.
Right. I'm sure they do. Now, across the country, we've tested less than 1% of all Americans. And does that concern you when you hear numbers like that? And then you know that Floridians may be flying in. Does that number concern you?
Oh, definitely. I mean, but I don't want to get political because whether
no, of course not.
Whether we were able to get more or should have had more. Or,
right.
Of course, as a doctor, I think we should have had tests for every human being in the country, myself.
Right.
But it was hard saying no to people who really didn't have any risk factors. They just knew somebody who was positive. They really hadn't been close to them, but they just said, my buddy, you know, down the street who I saw a month ago has it. So I don't think I have it, but I want to know. And we had to say no to those people because we only had so many swabs.
Right.
At first we were saving them for the sickest people. And then as we realized we had plenty of swabs, we liberalized it to where if you knew a contact, if you had even a sniffle, we were checking them. That was against what I think the CDC, I think Dr. Fauci, I think, even our own governor and president, I think they all said we'll save them for the sickest people. But our philosophy was we want to test everybody we possibly can.
Right. I would agree
and
with that
another
philosophy.
Reason. Yeah, and that's another reason why we have so many Laguna, because we were doing checks. A lot of the checks, they had very minimal symptoms, but they came back positive. So,
right now, when you find someone positive, well, you have a 4-step plan. How exactly are you treating your positive patients?
Right. Yeah, we have a cohort right now of about 59. I think we just got our 60th, and I'm sure we're heading to 100, which doesn't sound like that much, except it's under one protocol, and we're a relatively small group compared to the bigger names in Orange County. And like I said, of those 60, about 20, which figures about a third, are in Laguna. We immediately put them at isolation, of course, and complete and total bed rest with hydration. And they say that men have worse cases, and I think I know why. Men are notorious for not being able to obey complete and total bed rest. The gals seem more able to do that. We define that as bed, couch, recliner. Okay. They can leave for a couple reasons, to go to the bathroom and to eat at a dinner table, but alone. They shouldn't eat with their family. Okay. They're isolated. And get a fresh remote battery and have your computer handy to use a laptop and some good books, and do not exert yourself, because studies have shown over the years, when you exert yourself, your immune system takes a break. When you're resting, it makes sense. You have a common cold, you take a day or two off work, you bounce back. Right. If you try working through it, it takes a week to go away. So that's been very important. Number two, we put everybody on what we call the double Zs. It's a Z-Pack and zinc.
Okay.
The Z-Pack theoretically prevents a secondary infection, and it might have some antiviral properties. Zinc is well known to treat the common cold. There's anecdotal evidence of that. So those were obvious choices for this. Unfortunately, with our 60 patients, we did not see much of an effect of those.
Okay.
Maybe no more than placebo, in our opinion.
Okay.
So then it goes to the hydrochloroquine, which is the brand name is Plaquenil.
Right.
And Plaquenil, which is easier to say, was very hard to find. Still is kind of hard to find. Some pharmacies, I think, told a little white lie and told us they didn't have any.
Right.
Others required a positive test. We had a fax of the actual test showing the patient was positive. Others rationed it, like they only filled 10 prescriptions a day, and if we were the 11th call, we had a call the next day. So we were calling for over an hour on each patient to find it for them. One family had to drive to San Bernardino. It's the closest place we could find for it. But we have noticed a definite positive effect from it. Matter of fact, 100% of everybody we've put on it has improved within a day or two. Now, whether they would have improved in a day or two anyway, we don't have any, we're not this is not a clinical trial with 5,000 enrollees, But to us, it's been fairly dramatic, so we fight hard to find it for them.
Now, I'm hearing where people, if they're trying to self-medicate with hydrochloroquine, are it causes some heart palpitations or breathing problems?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, it has EKG abnormalities, which could cause your heart to pause or palpitate.
Okay.
So, yeah, if you can get it off the eBay or internet, that would be dangerous. There's a strict dosing regimen we follow that was published. Actually, I think it was published by the European nations that was working over there. So it's close to the dose to prevent malaria. It's not that far off. But, it's definitely prescription medication. It definitely shouldn't be taken without a doctor's surveillance.
Okay. And now the discussion is with antibody tests. Can you explain to us why the antibody tests are so important?
Well, yes, but I'm still on the fence on that one.
Okay.
And I know I'm a lone voice, because I was just watching TV before you called, and all these places in LA are now doing antibody tests, and some are charging patients $400 for one, which is ridiculous, because they only cost us 10 if we decide to buy it. And there's an unspoken fear that all doctors have, and epidemiologists, that I'll tell you in 1 second. But the idea is, the only test to tell us if you have it actively is the nasal swab. It's called a PCR test. That has a very low error rate. But it does take about 12 to 24 hours in the lab and 2-3 days to get the result back. That's the test we've been offering, because every quickie test, I call them, where they do a throat swab or a finger prick and they tell you in 10 minutes, they all have too many false negatives. False positives we can live with. You isolate yourself unnecessarily.
Right.
But a false negative gives you a false sense of security. Now you're infecting your bed partner, your family at the dinner table, your buddies you have over for poker. I mean, a false negative is extremely scary.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And the quickie tests are just too high, as 30% false negative compared to almost none not none, but very low number for the nasal swab. Now, switching to your question of the antibody test, that only answers two questions. Have I had it recently, and am I immune from it?
Right.
And you could have had it recently but not be immune. You could have both. So it's not going to help somebody who's sick right now. If you're sick right now, you really need the nasal swab because that tells us if you have the active virus. When people say, I think in February I had it, a buddy of mine came back from Europe and I played cards with him. And now back then I had a bad cold, but it went away. But I think that was it. The antibody test would tell us if he did have it and if he's now immune to it.
Okay. I see some.
Unfortunately,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was saying, unfortunately, it doesn't tell you if you're contagious. So it tells you if you've had it. It doesn't tell you if you still have it. No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. I cut you off, and I apologize for that. I'm seeing companies spring up that can drive out to your business, and they say, we can give you a certificate of immunity. And though I believe that that's also a scam regarding the antibody test, that's my opinion. Do you see a time when Americans have to carry a certificate of immunity of some kind?
No, but I see a time where workplaces won't let you in without that, or schools may not allow students in without it, or I can see that, yeah. And that's why I'm looking so hard for an accurate antibody test. Most of the antibody tests also have a high false negative rate, which, again, you really don't want. But the trouble is it says if you're immune, but whether you're immune doesn't help you in the workplace if you're contagious. And the antibody test says nothing about your being contagious. So I was telling you that there's an unspoken fear that we don't really want to bring up because of panic, but every doctor I know has expressed this to me. There's going to be a percent, and right now it's looking like as high as 10-20%, that recover. Their antibody test says they're immune. They feel great, but they're still having virus in their nose and mouth.
Right.
And they're still contagious. It's called an asymptomatic carrier. And the reason we have those numbers is in China and in Europe, they're finding about 10 to 20% of those who had it still are contagious 4 to 6 weeks later.
Wow.
The immunologist in the country and Mayo Clinic is saying, well, give it time. Some viruses take 4 to 6 months to totally get out of the system. So hopefully that's the case with this. But is it possible the coronavirus 19 may have a cohort, 10%, 5%, that are infectious indefinitely? And what do we do? Do we create leper colonies? Do we lock them in a hotel and not let them out? Or do we? So the answer to that is you want herd immunity. You want 95% of the population immune, so the few people that are carriers don't infect them.
And in our current situation, in our current scenario nationally, what kind of timeline is in your head for that?
Well, 2 weeks ago, I was asked that question. I said, by mid-May, I think we'll see, with all the social isolation and businesses closed, I thought by mid-May, for sure, we would be out of the woods and slowly return to normal. But the numbers keep going up, not so much in Orange County, but L.A., and then, of course, San Francisco way worse and East Coast way worse. So I'm modifying that it could be all the way into June or July at this point.
Right. Right. If you're just joining us, we're talking to Dr. Greg DeNicola, Caduceus Medical Group. He's the chief medical officer. And I've got just a couple of more questions for you. I'm hearing from some ambulance drivers and nurses that work the ambulances that they're not being provided enough proper time to clean their rigs in between stops. Have you heard about this? And how important is that?
Well, obviously very important, right. But then you have to weigh. It's kind of like the rationing of ventilators, you know, on the East Coast. We haven't done that here yet, but on the East Coast, it's the same thing. When do you weigh the effect against one patient against the public good? You know, so if it takes them half hour to 45 minutes to disinfect the ambulance, are they going to miss one or two patients that they would have normally been able to pick up and save the life of? I'm not an expert in that, but that's what they're weighing against. But I've heard that the paramedical personnel have not been able to get PPE, which is the masks and gowns and all those things. We had a difficult time getting it. We had to call and pull a lot of favors to even get it for our staff. We definitely do not have enough PPE or protective equipment for our healthcare workers, no question.
Wow. So you have to go out on the open market and look for it.
Well, I kind of called friends. I've been in practice 40 years.
I got connections.
So I have to pull favors. Remember that time I helped you? Do you have any masks around? So, yeah, it's, it was ridiculous because you'd think there'd be a central federal program that would ship all this to doctors across the country. At least that was my hope, but that wasn't the case.
Yeah, I think we all were under the impression that once you declare a national emergency, that the federal government gets involved full bear, and then that way they're distributing to the states equally and evenly wherever the problems are. That apparently hasn't happened.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry, doctor.
I had nothing to say.
Okay. Three weeks from today, from this conversation, 3 weeks from this conversation, what will we be wishing we had done?
Well, in the obvious initial answer I've already said is wish we had had more tests so we could have tested more people. Right. And maybe and also a more accurate test than the swab for being contagious. I believe we will probably wish that there was easier access to disinfectants, masks, cleaning supplies, and those kind of things. And maybe looking back that we had started some kind of isolation earlier than we did. The closing down of society was probably arguably necessary because we waited too long to do things we should have done before that.
Right. Dr. Greg DiNicola, Caduceus Medical Group, Chief Medical Officer, can I please invite you to come back and give us an update in the next couple of weeks?
Would love to.
All right. Thank you so much for being on the program this morning. We appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Dr. Greg DiNicola, Caduceus Medical Group, Chief Medical Officer, spending time with us. If you missed any portion of that, you go to KXFM's website, you pull down the podcast under coronavirus, and it'll be up there in just a little while.